All right, help for those overwhelmed in ministry, guys, when your all doesn't seem to be good enough. We've all been there. Here's number three. There's always room for improvement. Look at verse 17 and 18 with me of Exodus 18. What you're doing is not good, Moses' father-in-law said to him. You will certainly wear out both yourself and these people who are with you because the task is too heavy for you. So here we've got to distinguish what is and is not good. So we've got to distinguish what is good and what is not good. And if I were Moses, I would be like, what do you mean this is not good? It's very good. I'm serving people. I'm helping people. How can you say this is not good? Well, the way you're doing it, Moses, is not good. In other words, here it is, guys. You've got to have a good system in place. You've got to have a process in place, a process of service. Everything revolving around you, Moses, is not good. The attitude behind your service, everything depending on you, is not good. So you've got to be willing to change, and you've got to be willing to improve. And here's some possible areas. You've got to be willing to change and improve your study time if you're a pastor. How can you be more efficient in your study time? Maybe your study time is just not good. You've got to be willing to learn and grow and improve in how you lead meetings. Maybe the rest of your coworkers, the rest of your ministry leaders, they dread getting together with you because the way you lead meetings is not organized. You allow people to go on rabbit trails. It's boring. You don't stick to the agenda. I don't know how you lead meetings, but maybe that needs to change. Maybe how you handle caring for people in your church or ministry needs a better process, so that people don't fall through the cracks and you don't miss people. Maybe the way you assimilate new people into your church in ministry needs to change. You need to tighten that up. Maybe your outreach needs to change and grow. Maybe how you recruit people as volunteers to your organization, to your church, needs to change. And because right now, it may not be good. There is always room for improvements. We never arrive as a leader. We're constantly growing, and that's a good thing. We should want to. So I would say it this way: be willing to change, improve, and try something new. Always be willing to change, always be willing to improve, always be willing to try something new. Let me give you an example. I preached the same way for 27 years. I changed it in the past 2 years. And a lot of that was brought about because of COVID. Why did I change it? Because of outside objective opinions. I had three young guys in the church, our worship pastor, our IT guy, and another IT guy. And you know what? They came up to me. They invited me to a meeting with them. And these three young guys invited me, an older pastor who's been here for 28 years, 27 years at the time. And they said, Pastor Scott, we think you can do better. We think we need to do better, and you need to continue to improve in this area. And I was like, oh man, hearing these three guys talk to me about that, I was like, what are they talking about? I know how to preach. They don't know how to preach. Well, what they were talking about is, we want you now to record the message ahead of time because of COVID. We want you to now preach a day earlier. We want you to have your sermon and all your study done a day earlier. And I'm processing this in this office with them, and after remaining quiet for a little bit, because I'm the expert, I'm the preacher, I have a system that has worked for me for many years, I don't want to change. This is what I said. I looked at those three guys, and these are the words I use. Okay, I will submit to your leadership. And that's what I told them. And I am so glad I did. I mean, they stretched me. They taught me. I now, you know, look at a camera online as well as the people who are gathered, and I dress both audiences, and now I preach off a monitor, and now I use a table. You guys see this table? I never used a table. They said, Scott, table will be better because of viewing out there because of people at home on COVID. I said, okay, I'll try preaching from a table. I always used, you know, a stand before. They talked to me about the importance of transitions and tightening things up. Man, I learned so much. I was so glad those three guys came to me and they had courage to do that and say, we think you can do better. And so I've improved, I've learned, I tried something new. And so I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And I know it can be hard to try new things. There's a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I have good news for you. You're not a dog. And so you can learn new tricks, so to speak. You can learn how to do things a new way. The next thing that stands out, it's not good. Be willing to change. Understand the consequences when you're not willing to change. Understand the consequences. It's not good for you or others. Verse 18, you will certainly wear out both yourself and these people. You're going to wear out. You may not look too bad on the outside. It's kind of, I'm a runner. Maybe it's like an old pair of running shoes. An old pair of running shoes can look pretty good on the outside, but man, after 400 or 500 miles, the sole is just not there and the support system's not just there. And for some of us, and by the way, that's when injuries happen. For some of us, our souls are wearing out because we're just not willing to try something new. We're not willing to listen to other people. And not only are we going to wear out, the people around us are going to wear out. That's what Jethro tells Moses. They're tired of waiting around all day. They're tired of not being cared for, not being heard. They're not receiving the help in a manner that's timely. And people are going to tire of us too. They're going to tire of you in your church. They're going to tire of you in your ministry. If you're not doing things in an efficient way and as a good leader, putting systems into place. And then he says this, you're certainly going to wear out and the task is too heavy for you. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys bench press and lift weights. You know, I've lifted weights. I'm no weight lifter. Just look at me. I'm a skinny, scrawny guy. But some of you guys, you bench press, okay? And you know, when it gets to that last rep and you're trying to lift it and you can't get it up. It falls back on your chest. Well, you needed a spotter is what you need. In America, there's an average of 6 people that die every year because they were lifting without a spotter. It just crushes them. And how many more are injured, we don't know. I want you to understand there's help for those overwhelmed in ministry. You need a spotter. You need to do things better. You need to do things different. So listen to outside objective opinions. Everything shouldn't revolve around you. There's always room for improvement. Here's number 4. Stop trying to do it alone. The task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. Verse 18. So the first thing I have to do and you have to do is we have to be honest. We can't do this alone. We're not supposed to do it alone. And I have to swallow my pride and be humble. If Moses couldn't do it alone, and he was a pretty good leader, you and I can't do it alone. The weight of ministry is too heavy. It's too heavy. You need people around you. You need spotters. So we've got to be honest. We also have to be humble. You can't do it alone. And first and foremost, we have to depend on the Lord. You know John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, and I don't know where you guys are ministry-wise, but I have to be on my knees every single day. Every single day, guys. Every single day. Before I start sermon prepping, I have to pray. Say, God, this is your word. I need supernatural spiritual help. I can't do it in my own flesh. Before I preach, before I spoke to you guys, I can't tell you how much I prayed. I prayed for you. I prayed for our time. I prayed for the Spirit of God to help and enable and fill me and use me. Before leadership meetings, we have to constantly be in prayer. We have to constantly be relying on the Lord. I don't want my ministry to be in human strength because nothing's going to come about. And so we have to rely on the Lord. And so we have to depend on Him, but we also have to depend on others. It takes more than just being a great player, okay? Moses needed a team. We need a team. You guys who follow soccer or follow football, Robert Lewandowski is a great, great footballer. captain of the Polish national football team, plays for Barcelona now. Polish footballer of the year, 9 times. That's a record. Top scorer, 6 seasons in his league. 2020 European Sportsman of the Year. Best FIFA male player 2020 and 2021. European Golden Shoe Award 2021 and 2022. I mean, incredible accolades and awards this man has gotten. But he would lose every single game without a team. He needs 10 other guys on the field with him. 10 guys on the field with him. So this is a quote from Robert Lewandowski. Football is the most popular sport in the world, but it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. I know I can only win with my team. And the same thing is true for you, ministry leader and pastor. You are not going to win in ministry by yourself. The only way you're going to win is with a team. And it doesn't matter how great a player you are. It doesn't matter. You may be a great preacher, a great teacher. You may be a great administrator and organizer and with organization skills. You may be a great worship leader. You may be a great evangelist. You know, you're going to lose without a team. It's not about you being great. You have to have a good team around you. And here's the sad truth. Some of us pastors and some of us ministry leaders don't appreciate our teams. We don't thank them enough. We don't encourage them enough. You're going to lose your team because you're not encouraging them. I just want to encourage you to encourage your volunteers. Encourage those who serve with you, your deacons or other pastors around you. Encourage is what we've got to do. And some pastors and ministry leaders, honestly, we act like we don't want a team, because we want to carry the ball all by ourselves. We want all the accolades. We don't want to give up control. You're going to lose. We're going to lose in ministry if that's our attitude. Now, I want you to notice something about Moses. Moses was a great leader. I mean, a great player. Think about this. He was an incredible player. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest, Moses was a 10. Think about it. I mean, 10 plagues in Egypt, received the 10 commandments. I mean, Moses was an incredible player. Moses was a bad teammate. He was a poor teammate. He could lead 2 million people out of Egypt and still not understand best practices as a leader. If Moses needed to improve, I need to improve. If Moses needed to improve, you need to improve. And that's what we're here about. We're learning how to improve. And let me give you a good reminder in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. Pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if 2 lie down, they can keep warm. But how can 1 person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers 1 person, 2 can resist him. A cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. So more strands, more strength. More strands, more strength. We need a good team. And next, we're going to learn how to bring those strands together. So far we've learned, listen to outside objective opinions. Everything shouldn't revolve around you. There's always room for improvement. Stop trying to do it alone.